Whenever I think of all the sermons that I've heard, all the sermons I've listened to since I can remember listening to sermons, there's a certain subject that sticks out the most as the messages that I remember the most, and they hit me the hardest. And those are the messages on the subject of friends. Who your friends are, how you relate to people, what you do and what you don't do with your friends. What kind of friends do you have? And that's what I want to talk about this morning, and I should have talked about this last week at the young people's meetings, really, because this is something that matters especially for young people. So that's who I'm going to talk to mostly, even though there's not a whole lot of them here. But anyway, it's important. In fact, necessary to have multiple kinds of friends. You need friends that are above you, that you look and look up to. And you need friends that are on your level, that you can relate to. And you need friends that are below you, that you can reach out to and help. And I'm going to deal specifically with five kinds of friends that fit these three categories. And I'm going to deal with them in relation to how they can either be your friend or they can be your enemy, depending on you. But let's start with prayer. Father, I pray that you would be with us this morning. Help me as I deal with this subject to be faithful to your word. And Father, I just pray you would open up all of our hearts to hear from you. Amen. So, of course, the first is Jesus. The most important friend that anybody can ever have is Jesus. And as I was saying, I'm going to deal with these in light of how they can Jesus can either be your friend, your best friend, or your worst enemy. There are two pictures that we see of Jesus in the Bible. We see him as a lamb, and we see him as a lion. The first time Jesus came, it was said of him, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." But it's said of Jesus at his second coming, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here we have the Lamb, and here we have the Lion. We see it again in Revelation 5:5. One of the elders said unto John, he says, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." In Revelation, this, of course, the seven seals represent judgments that are poured out on the earth. "And no man was found worthy to open the book, except the Lion of the tribe of Judah," which of course is Jesus Christ. Jesus says of himself that whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And here we're faced with a decision. We can be broken now or ground to powder then. I talked a while ago about the man that I saw who was wearing that shirt that said, "I hate God." And of course it was spelled E-Y-E. It's the name of a rock band. But "I hate God." But to me and to you, God is your only hope. He is our salvation. Why is there such a difference? That man that hates God might harden his heart now, but someday it will still be broken. In Isaiah 45:23, we read, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow every tongue shall swear. That man might hate God now, but someday he will still bow the knee. In Psalm 2, we read, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." We see throughout the Bible two completely opposite ways of relating to our Savior. One is as a friend and as a Savior, and the other is as an enemy and as a judge. How do you relate to Jesus? Make friends with him now, or he will make you his enemy. But Jesus, as I stated, is the most important friend you can have. What other friend can it be said of? He never fails. Every friend will fail you at some point. Jesus never fails. Who else is there that gave his blood to save your soul? The person that you can look at and just filled, overwhelmed with joy as you think of what this friend has done for you, it does not compare. There is nothing that anyone has done for you to the extent of what Jesus has done for you. Who else can it be said of? Yesterday, today, forever. He is the same. There is no one. There is no friend that you can have absolute assurance that he will never change. Of what friend can you say he sticks closer than a brother? We hear stories. I just recently read a story of a band of men in some wartime that was lost in a snowstorm. And trying to find their way back, there was two brothers together. And the one brother fainted and collapsed into the snow. And his other brother still had some strength left and picked him up, put him on his back, and carried him until he collapsed. And that warmth of having been carried on his other brother's back warmed him up and brought him back. So when his brother collapsed, he was the only man that made it safe out. From the way that I read the story, he was the only man that made it out alive because of his brother that carried him. And that's brotherly love. I just recently read a story online. In Australia, there was some flooding, and a car was swept out into the floodwaters with a family in it, and the rescuers come, and they weren't able to grab everybody all at once, and the 13-year-old boy says, "Take my brother first." Took his 10-year-old brother first, and he was washed away by the flood and killed. He sacrificed his life to save his brother. Of what friend can you say he sticketh closer than a brother? How can you get better than that? But you can. The Lord Jesus Christ sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is the most important friend you can have. That's the first. The second, I want to deal with parents. To some young people, their parents are their security, their guide, their identity. But to others, their parents are the ones who get in the way of everything they want to do. We're told to honor our father and our mother. But I'm going beyond that. I'm not talking today about honor. I'm talking about friendship. I'm talking about being friends with your mom and dad. In this day and age, we have Wikipedia, eHow, and an amazing amount of helps on the internet that tell you how to wash dishes, how to do your clothes, how just an amazing amount of things that they tell you how to do that is sometimes pretty funny. And like, why do we need this? It's because children aren't learning these things from their parents and they're too ashamed to ask them. How to cook, how to take care of a baby, how to clean your house. We have a whole generation of people that don't know a whole lot of these things, and they need to learn it from the internet because they won't learn them from their parents. Where do you get your identity? We live in a day in which young people get their identity more from the music they listen to than from their family. More from whether they like Ford or whether they like Chevy than what they believe and what church they go to. Why is the identity of this generation so messed up? I don't know fully why, but it needs to change. And as Christians, we need to have our identity placed in the right things. I believe it's biblical for young people to find identity in their family. You have a last name that's been passed down. And it's biblical to find identity in who your family is on an earthly sense. But most important, if you are a Christian, you need to find your identity in Christ. In Proverbs 23:26, we read, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit." And this brings us to an interesting fact that you can see throughout many times. You can observe many times throughout your life, I should say. That if a man does not obey this verse, verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways," he will naturally do the warning of verse 27, "For a whore is a deep ditch and a strange woman is a narrow pit." You will give your heart to somebody. It's especially easy for a man to give his heart to a woman and a woman to give her heart to a man. And be careful in these things. He says, "My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." This is something that boys especially do. It's easy for us to refuse to ask anybody how to do anything. It's, you know, we don't read the instructions. We can figure it out. What does he say? He says, "And let thine eyes observe my ways." This is an instruction for us how to give our heart in the proper way. One of the most honoring things than a young person can do to his parents is ask them questions. If he's somebody that reads his Bible, if your parents are Christians, You have a question, what does this verse mean? Go to your parents. Ask them, what does this mean? How do I interpret this verse? How should I act in this situation? How should I be in this situation? So on and so forth. I was just counseling a young man recently and I told him, he was telling me about some of the friction in his family. I told him, all you got to do, you can completely resolve that if you humble yourself and ask your dad questions. Ask him. Everything you can ask him, do ask him. And the most honoring thing a child can do is emulate his parents. It's easy for young people to grow up and say, I am not going to be like my mom. I am not going to be like my dad. And sometimes that might be good because maybe there's things you shouldn't be like. But the best way to actually live that is to find something else in your parents and say, I am going to emulate this. This is something about my dad that was good, and I am going to do my best to be like him. This is something about my mom that she excelled at, and I am going to do my best to be like her. In this way, we have the proper balance, and we don't fall into a pit. So, Jesus is the most important friend to have. Parents are important. In fact, they're irreversible. You wouldn't be here without them. Maybe your parents aren't around, but find somebody to fill that role. Someone needs to tell you to make your bed, take a shower, wash your clothes, read your Bible, do your homework, take a nap, make supper, get you out of bed when you're late for work, so on and so forth. The third group of friends, and remember I'm dealing with these people as friends. Jesus as a friend, parents as a friend. Third one is church elders. Church elders. To some people, the church elders are just the people that stand up in church every week and tell them what they're doing wrong in their lives. But to others, they are instruments in the Redeemer's hand to reveal what's wrong, to spread light on their lives. In Hebrews 13:17, we read, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. To some, authority is to be avoided at all cost. I don't want anybody ruling over me. I don't want people telling me what to do, because then maybe that'll restrict me. I don't have as many options. I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want people to tell me what I can and can't do. But the Bible tells us to submit. In Proverbs 27:17, we read, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. And you can use one knife to sharpen another knife. I was actually thinking of bringing knives this morning and I forgot. But you can actually sharpen one knife on a second knife. As long as you're careful and don't cut yourself and don't nick the other blade, because it's easy to destroy the other blade as well. But if you do it right, you can sharpen one knife with another one. But it's a lot easier to sharpen one knife with a piece of steel designed for the purpose of sharpening rather than using another knife. So iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Peers, people on the same level, can sharpen each other. but not near as much as somebody above you. If you want to be sharpened, don't look to the person beneath you. Don't look to the person on your same level. Find someone above you. Find an elder. Make him your friend. Some people never listen to the advice of anybody older than them. Don't like to listen to the authority of the church. Don't like to listen to their parents. Just their peers. Just the people that they feel on the same level with as only people they like to listen to. But that was the sin of Rehoboam. In 1 Kings 12:10 we read, "And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." Elders are necessary. Who is the person that keeps not just you, but your whole church in line? Who are the people that are unchanging, steadfast pillars? What older person is there in your life that digs in, turns over every ugly stone, digs deep into your heart, gives you a good rebuke and points you to Jesus? That's the purpose of an elder. We all need that. We need somebody to dig in deep. The fourth kind of friends that I want to talk about is peers. There's a proverb that speaks of this. It says, "Birds of like feather flock together." I want to turn to 2 Samuel. You can turn here if you want. You don't have to. I'm going to read one of the saddest stories in the Old Testament. The first five verses of 2 Samuel 13. "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto them, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it of her hand." The rest of the story goes on. And he forced his sister. And it was his friend's idea. But Amnon had a friend. I remember way, way back, I was probably 10 or 11, I listened to a sermon by Larry Brown titled, "Amnon Had a Friend." And he said over and over again in that sermon, he said, "You tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are." Don't pretend. Don't think you can hang out with those people and not have it affect you. It's an interesting thing that water and flour are both shelf-stable. You can leave them on the shelf for months, for years, and they're both stable. You mix them and they spoil. Just because you're a good kid and your friend is a good kid does not mean that you won't spoil each other. It's very important to know who your friends are. And not just who they are, but who you are with them. Did Samson intend to be betrayed by Delilah in Judges 16:6? Did Dinah intend to be defiled by Shechem the son of Hamor when she went out to see the daughters of the land? In Genesis 34:1? Did Jehoshaphat expect God to break the ships that he built with Ahaziah, king of Israel, in 2 Chronicles 20:37? Did you expect to give up your standard on Hollywood when you started hanging out with friends that had none? Did you know that you would give up everything you were taught about clothes when you started going swimming with those new friends you made? Did you expect to start using borderline swear words that your friends use? Did you know that you would start laughing at dirty jokes when you started hanging out with those people? Did you know that you would replace your Bible reading with novels when you made that new friend? You see, these things don't happen at once. You started hanging out with this person. If the first day that you hung out, she had suggested this book and said, "Hey, this is a really fun novel. You should read it." You would have said, "No, I don't read that kind of stuff." But over the course of 2 years of hanging out, and she talked about the book 6 or 7 times and told a couple good stories out of it. And you know this girl. She's a Christian. She knows her Bible. She goes to church. She's a good girl. And your walls are breaking down. Before you know it, she gives you a copy and you read that book that you never should have read. But at the same time, peers are needed. You need friends on this level. You just need to make sure you have the right ones. Who is the person that just picked you up when you were down? You see, a soldier needs a commander to tell him, "Go out and fight." But he needs another man in the foxhole right next to him. Who is the person in the foxhole next to you? That's your peer. But make sure it's the right one. A man playing a ball game needs a coach to tell him how to play. But he needs other people right in the game with him, playing with him. And as a Christian, you need parents and you need elders, but you also need friends. I'm not warning you against having friends. I'm warning you against having the wrong friends. Last of all, I talked about Jesus being your friend. I talked about your parents being your friend. I talked about elders being your friend. And I talked about your peers. And I want to talk about those you minister to. Because even those you minister to might become your destruction. My dad tells a story when he just got out of the military. He was at some sort of a young person's get-together out in, I believe, Washington. And they were up in the mountains somewhere having their camp. These little mountain streams coming down. There was this pool here and the people were swimming in it. And one of the boys gets a little too far into the current and calls for help because he's about to get washed over the waterfall. So my dad swims out to help him. And this was a big kid. And dad just got out of the military, very fit. And he easily could have swam through the current himself, but trying to drag this big kid with him, he wasn't making it. And they both, over the waterfall. And now the whole group of people is going around down to the next pool to try to save them. And they go over like three or four waterfalls before they finally get to a place where there's the rocks are right and everything, where people can pull them out before they just keep going. Those you minister to might become your destruction. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I once read a story of a girl who started witnessing to a certain guy. And soon he professed to be saved. But as the story goes on, it wasn't long until they were living together, unmarried. She thought she was going to bring him to become a Christian, and he ended up taking her down. Don't think you're strong. There was a boy that I went witness to a while back, a few years ago, made a confession of faith, completely changed his life, except the area of his friends. He never stopped. He even went to the pot parties with his friends. He just didn't do pot anymore. But that didn't last very long, as you can imagine. And he told me that he was going to go and be a good influence on them. He said they needed somebody. They needed encouragement. That's why he said he was going to go. But it didn't work. They rather brought him down again. I believe in being friends with the people you are evangelizing. I believe in being friendly to them. I believe in doing things with them. But I do not believe in friendship evangelism. And the distinct difference, some people believe that being friends with ungodly people, being friendly and loving to them, is evangelism. It is not. Preaching the truth of the Bible is evangelism. And I believe in being friendly and loving to the people you preach the truth of the Bible to. Let's not get the two confused. So, we need people on this level. We need people that we can reach out to. There is nothing that will send a miner to the mines to dig for gold quite like having somebody that he knows and loves that needs a ransom price paid. Imagine a miner, let's say, who has a sister being held for ransom. That will send a man to those mines to dig for gold. We're told to dig in the scriptures as for hid treasure, and I'm going to say that there is few things that will send you to this book to dig for answers quite as hard as if you have somebody you know and love that needs your counsel. That will send you to the scriptures. And we need friends like that. I know a lot of people that are saved, but they still find this book to be dry. They already have all the answers as far as they know for themselves. But I will take a guess that what you need is you simply need people to reach out to. If you have people that need your help, you have people, when you have friends that aren't going to hear the gospel unless they hear it from you, that puts purpose in your life. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for this book, and I thank you for all your blessings to us. And I pray now that you would help each person here to examine ourselves and consider what friends we have. And I pray, Father, that you would help us be faithful to the friends we have and help us have a proper relationship with you, with our parents, with our church, and Father, with our peers. And Father, I pray you would help us find people that we can reach out to. Amen.